For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
So yesterday we had a chaotic half an hour with Ed Curnow, former Carlton player, current legend.
The worst.
Yeah, he's in the studio for half an hour every Wednesday, and yesterday it just got full on.
Well, you guys did have a bit of a wager on, and we'll get to that a little bit later on because the Cats and Swans this Saturday, you're a proud Cats girl.
Mm-hmm.
Ed has had to start barracking for the Swans because his brother Charlie Curnow plays for them. So it is a bit of a, well, if the Cats win, he's going to suffer. And if the Swans win, you're going to suffer. We'll get into that later on.
Yeah, but while we're having this chat, we were talking a little bit about tattoos. And Ed Curnow revealed this.
Now, Ed, sure. You seem like a clean skin over there. Have you got any tattoos?
I've got one.
What is it?
When I got married, I lost my ring within about a week, I didn't tell Emily, and just went and got a tattoo instead, and then waited for her to find out.
Would you?
It's an expensive lesson.
He lost his wedding ring within a week.
Within a week.
Now, of marrying his beautiful wife.
We've known Ed Curnow for 2-3 months.
Yeah.
That tracks.
It does track. Like, it's definitely on.
He's a beautiful,
but like,
man.
I said in that, you're the worst, and I meant that in my heart and soul. Yeah. He's the worst. He would definitely lose his wedding ring within a week of getting married.
And it's just, yeah, that line, where your wedding ring or an engagement ring would go on your left ring finger. And, yeah, like, within a week of getting it. Like, I remember the first week of wearing my wedding ring, and I just, it was, like, strange having a ring on there because I never used to wear rings. So I would know if it wasn't on there, and I only would take it off to sleep and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, which you still do to this day.
Well, no, you didn't know until some a-holes here at the radio station were like, oh, if you ever see Tim's ring on his desk, he's doing a poo. And I was like, she didn't need to know that.
Oh,
that
I do
was
now.
Just, yeah, that was just an us thing, because I wipe with my left, if you must know. Well, I'm just painting an unfortunate picture there.
Now, look, I am obviously saying that Ed Curnow is the worst for losing his ring, but I, once upon a time, was engaged, and I lost my engagement ring for a very long period of time, within hours after getting engaged.
Oh, right. And you got engaged overseas.
In Paris, oui.
And you lost it, like, how soon after the proposal?
So we got engaged by the Eiffel Tower, cliche. Then we went to an Irish pub in Paris because that's the place to be, obviously, romance city.
Culture.
Yeah, culture. And we had a great afternoon, literally celebrated there for about 9 hours. So you can imagine the state we were in. We got home, went to bed. I woke up the next morning with no engagement ring on and thought, wow, I've left that at the pub. Looked literally everywhere in the apartment, could not find it. Eventually we walked to the pub. It wasn't at the pub, of course. And then we went back to the apartment, had another look, and I had put it inside a pocket, inside a zip, inside
like
a sock.
Like in a state of
celebration, yeah. I had put that
You're
in.
Like, I'll remember this. This is safe. This is smart.
But it was missing for about 16 hours, and it was extremely terrifying.
I lost my wedding ring for 3 days.
Did you?
A couple of years after we got married, and it had fallen behind the, so I would put it at the basin in the bathroom. I had like a little bowl where I'd put it, and someone had knocked it. And the ring had just fallen down. And I was devastated. I love my wedding ring.
Of course.
So I was devastated. And then I found it, and it was like, it's like getting married all over again. I was like, this is what it feels like to be proposed to, that commonly girls would get. Yeah. I was like, this is beautiful. I was like, I do, as I got through all the, like, you know, shower mold. It was beautiful.
Look, I've got a story. You've got a story. Ed Curnow has a story. There has to be more out there. Oh, yeah.
He's the problem. 5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Did you lose your wedding ring? I mean, a week after you get it, that's short. That's not a long time.
No.
And he just knew immediately, I'm not going to find it. I'll get a tattoo.
Yeah.
The first call through was Brett from Bell Park. How'd you lose your wedding ring, Brett?
Very similar to that story, actually. I was about a month after I got married, summertime, we went down to the beach with a few friends. And as you would know, being a bloke in colder climates, things tend to shrivel up a little bit. And my finger got a bit shriveled.
And
a bit smaller. And I pulled the wedding ring off and go, oh, look at this. And a wave hit me from behind and the ring fell. And it actually landed on my foot. And I panicked and went to grab it and it was gone.
Oh,
yeah.
The ocean.
That is being in that situation and being like, oh, my God, it landed on my foot. And then you do like something you would never do normally and like kick your leg up above your head to try and get the ring. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, and so bottom of the ocean to never be seen again, Brett?
Correct. Correct. Never seen again. Somebody may have found it over the years. I don't know, but, you know.
Just congratulations
and
to
just,
them.
And just remember, just because something shrinks doesn't mean it's not still massive, you know? All right, Brett?
Yeah, that is true.
There we go, Brett.
It's motion of the ocean, as some yeah, would say.
That's all you need. Tim and Davo. And look, it could have just been me this afternoon. Davo, I know that yesterday I wasn't here because my young one was a little bit crook, so I stayed home to look after him, but I didn't realise my other little buddy, Davo, was a bit crook this morning.
Yeah, most mornings, I'd say.
You have a moment in the shower every single day that is, it's almost like a hurdle you got to get over. And you keep telling me, oh, yeah, it almost happened again this morning. It almost happened again.
You are fascinated by this. From the second I started working here, I think it was one of my first days, and I said this had happened to me, and you were like, what do you mean?
So every morning, this is a barrier that you have to break through.
Of course.
Brushing your teeth without gagging and vomiting is a challenge for you.
It's not nice. It's horrible.
What do you mean?
Well, the thing is whenever my toothbrush hits my back molars, something happens within me, and I think it might be sort of half mental because I think it touches my back molar and all of a sudden I've got the gag reflex. If I brush my tongue, forget about it.
Forget about it.
I'm in trouble.
How recently have you had like a little spew in the shower from brushing your teeth?
Oh, a couple of months ago, I reckon it was. But like there's been some close calls where I have to like regroup, think about it, really rein myself in and try and stop thinking about it in my head because the second I keep thinking about it, the more gags happen.
Right. Is it just the morning brush or a nighttime brush? It's another battle as well.
The morning brush is the big battle.
Huh. I just don't think it's a thing. I just think you're the only person that struggles with this.
Well, get over here. Give me a toothbrush. I'll put it in the back of your throat and I'll let you see how you go with it. It's not
but
nice.
See, you're the person that would... To prove a point, you would get a toothbrush, hold my neck and jam it in my throat.
You'll want to know about it. I'll tell you all about it, brother.
I can tell you I have never, not once in my entire life, been brushing the back part of my teeth and ever been like, come on, mate, focus up. Be a good boy. Don't vomit here.
What's weird about it, for me, it's only started in the last few years as well. It's not something that's been a whole life situation.
Was there a moment?
No. Well, the moment was I spewed up. Sorry. I shouldn't say that. It's awful.
No, it's not awful. It's concerning. Like when you go to the dentist, what happens?
Oh, well, let's hope he's not fiddling around with me back molars.
Well, I want to
know. No, you.
Handsy little dentist.
Fascinated by this, Tim.
I wanted to hit the phones with it on 5223295. How common is this? Is there someone else out there that every morning struggles to brush their teeth with bristles? I can guarantee you not a single man in Geelong struggles with brushing his teeth without gagging.
No, I think they do. There's definitely people out there. Brush your tongue and see what happens.
I am happy to field the calls on 5223295. When you brush your back teeth, do you almost spew? B from Leopold's giving us a call. B, because I want to know if anyone else struggles with this. Are you struggling with brushing your teeth because of the bristles?
Not sure if it's just the bristles. I think it's also all that froth in your mouth from the toothpaste.
Yep. That would definitely cause an issue.
Is that an issue for you, Dave, as well, when it's at the back?
No. I probably wouldn't enjoy that being at the back. But I do think, is it the taste of the mint or?
No, it's not necessarily the taste. It's just, I don't know. I'm thinking, I'm just like you. As soon as that toothbrush and toothpaste is in there, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, it's not good. And is it for you night and morning? Because for me, it's just the morning.
Mine would be both.
Yeah.
Double ender. Yeah. That's a shame. That is a shame, B. Gary in Melton, do you struggle with this?
Yes. When I'm brushing my teeth, at the moment, I think about the toothbrush hitting my molars at the back. I start to gag, and then once the gagging starts, I can't stop.
I know.
And it's the same as the dentist. I hate going to the dentist for the thought of them going too far back into my mouth and the gagging starts. And once that starts, I don't want the dentist anywhere near me.
Gary, I know. I understand that fully. But, Gary, the thing is, do you think it is a mental thing rather than, like, the physical reflex?
It's a combination, probably more mental than physical, but I think it's a combination.
Have you ever sucked on an icy pole and that's been an issue? Like, you know, when, like, if you're, like...
No.
So it's...
No.
Dave, you clearly
it's purely
must...
the toothbrush and it's purely the dentist. So they're the two triggers.
The two triggers.
Dave, I think you might be having icy poles the wrong clone. Chris in Mountaineer. Mate, you're telling me that when you're brushing your teeth, it's a battle of the mind to make sure you're not gagging and spewing up.
Well, it's not that bad. It's usually when I like brush my tongue as well. Yep. I do the, you know, got the little thing on the back of the brush. Yeah. And if I go too deep, it gets a bit risky there.
Yeah.
But also when, you know, if you have to go to the doctor and he puts the Aussie-Pole stick, you know, to check your tonsils,
mm-hmm.
every single time.
Have you ever actually spewed on a doctor?
No. No, but some doctor I'd probably like to, but never.
Yeah, it's definitely a mental game there. You've got to be so careful. I mean, yeah, you've got...
It's dodgy doctor there. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you touch the dangly thing at the back of your throat and you're in an absolute trouble.
Well, I don't know how deep you're going there, Dave. But, you know.
The limit does not exist.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
So earlier this week, I brought to the show a new TV series that is out on Prime Video. It's called Off Campus.
I've seen a little snippets of it. You described it briefly the other day.
Mm-hmm. It's cheesy.
give the recap of like the whole purpose of the show.
So basically, obviously, it's a bit of a romance. So there's a guy, there's a girl. She's a bit of a smart nerd theatre girl. He's the jock.
Yep.
He needs tutoring. She needs to make a boy jealous. They decide to have a fake relationship. And of course, then they're going to fall in love.
There's
of course. Here's a bit of the trailer.
So what, I help you study and you play my fake boyfriend to get Justin's attention? Deal.
This is the most absolutely unhinged plan and I'm obsessed with it.
5 p.m. Tuesday.
Rehearsal. 7 a.m. Tuesday?
Right.
Whoa, easy.
We're going to be fake dating. There needs to be real kissing.
I just met you.
If we're going to convince anyone that we're hooking up, you can't blush whenever I come near you.
You're very sure of yourself.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. Eight episodes, and let me tell you, it takes you on a journey. Now, when I did bring this to the table, I did not realize the phenomenon that it is, and it has had over is number one, almost globally charting number one TV show right now in under 48 hours. It's got 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's also the trailer alone amassed nearly 9 million views in the first 24 hours, so people are up and about this show.
But there's similar shows where people really like, it's not similar in the way of it's written, but like
that particular story arc's been going on forever.
Yeah, but like shows like Bridgerton, mm-hmm. where people just are obsessed and they will binge and they'll watch it and then it goes away and everyone calms down. But then this Off Campus isn't just another one to fill time in between the other one, because I know there was a show that you watched last year
mm-hmm.
that we lost you to. I just met you.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, Davo's crazy.
Dude, I lost myself in that show. It was the summer I turned pretty.
Yeah. Now, Conrad, Jeremiah, mm-hmm. Belly. Love triangle. One girl, two Ooh. Brothers. She loves them both at the same time. Or does she?
Or does she? And obviously the heartthrob out of that was Conrad Fisher. We all went nuts for him. Now, the internet has really done a lot of comparisons of these two shows, which I just don't think it needs to. The internet is now putting Garrett, the lead man in this particular off-campus show, versus Conrad Fisher. They're now saying Conrad Fisher walks so Garrett can run.
Wow.
And why, you know, Eldor Paso style, why can't we have both?
So, because this is what it seems like is happening. So, in the Jeremiah versus, it's Team Jeremiah, Team Conrad. Conrad looks like he's come out on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, essentially now it's like, all right, well, Conrad's the carryover champion. Who's this other guy?
Garrett.
Garrett's the newcomer. Put him again head to head. All right, Garrett's beaten Conrad. But you don't like that they have to be going against each other.
No, we don't need
the fandoms do it, mate.
We can just enjoy them both. They're both gorgeous, gorgeous men, and they're both
men.
Yes, they are.
Men?
They are.
They're off campus, Davo.
Yeah.
A campus implies a university.
University, yeah. They're in their 20s.
I'm sure they're the mature age students. You're right. I'm not reaching into thinking that
I check the actor's age. He's 28. It's okay.
Oh, if you have to do that, Davo. That's
don't
a sign.
You start with that because nah, you know what? You've got no leg to stand on. So let's not do this right now. But anyway, I'd recommend you go and watch Off Campus on Prime. You'll bloody love it.
Yeah, Team Garrett, go all the way.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I mean, speaking about the game, we put the stakes very high on the show yesterday with one Ed Curnow.
Yes, former Carlton player.
Current legend.
And talker.
Yeah, he loves to yap. He's mouthy, isn't he?
You and him have got a bit of a bet going on, a bit of a wager. Mm-hmm. A friendly one.
Yeah, of course.
For the Davo Curnow Cup, because you, in the last 8 months, have become quite fond of the kitty cats.
Love them.
And Ed Curnow's brother, Charlie Curnow, plays for the Swans. So he's become quite fond of them.
Yeah, and what an and he also hates the cats. So, you know, it's definitely, I've got a lot to prove here.
Thought it was a good opportunity to do like, all right, well, if the Swans win, Davo, then you would have a punishment. Mm-hmm. And if the Cats win, then our mate Ed Curnow would receive a punishment. What do we land on?
So with Ed Curnow, if the Cats win, he's going to come on air next Wednesday and do a press conference on the show, basically saying that he was wrong about the Cats.
And just confessing, he's like, hey, I know I say that I don't like the Cats, but it's just because I'm so insecure. I love this football team. Mm-hmm. They're the best in the land. And I know for a fact that he would genuinely struggle to get through that. And if he, and my thing is, if the Cats win and he has to do this and he says any snide comments while he's doing the press conference, I think it's an additional punishment.
Oh, why not? I'd absolutely take that
and
for
We'll put him in a Cats playing kit as well. Yeah. Make him look the whole
kit and
caboodle.
Make him look like an absolute clown in here, which would be fantastic if the Cats win.
What happens if the Swans win, Davo?
Well, we settled on me getting a swan tattoo with a backwards cap.
Yeah, I thought because you like pretty cool stuff and I was like, a swan with a backwards cap, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Go Swans, gamble responsibly.
Yeah,
I feel like
suggestion. That's
a good one for you to just maybe a learning. You might look at that and go, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do these silly bits.
Well, the thing is that when we were on air yesterday, I was all full of gusto. I mean, you can check out the video, K-Rock Geelong, Instagram, Facebook. God. It's all over that.
You guys were the worst.
I know, you really hated it. It was like wrangling two children, bickering on air. But look, I was mouthy and I was like, well, the Cats are definitely going to win. They're definitely going to win. You suck, Ed Curnow.
Can I just say, it's funny you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. When I saw the video and listened back to it, you really didn't have anything other than, well, the Cats will win.
Yeah.
Confidence. And it was just like, and he would say something, you go, yeah, we'll winners are grinners.
Yep.
And the Cats are winners.
Yep.
And I'm yet to see any other kind of evidence on your behalf of why the Cats will win. Well, it's just like, they'll win because they will.
Well, it's our home game, of course, and the Cats like to, yes. Yeah. It's our home game and of course we like to win. The Cats are winners and I was very confident about that yesterday and I said, yeah, I'll get a tattoo. I don't care. Whatever, Ed Curnow, whatever, Tim, I got this. And I've thought about it overnight.
No.
I've got some bet regret. I'm not going to back out because that's not who I am as a person. But I will say the gusto I had yesterday afternoon has simmered down a little bit.
Is it kind of like a different version of anxiety?
Yeah.
Yeah. What can we do to help you?
No, there's,
it's you versus you again.
It's me versus me, but I also think, as a collective, we just need to really go for the Cats. We need to manifest this win for me because, one, Cats supporters, we're going to love seeing Ed Curnow do that next next week. Yeah. Next week, we'll love seeing Ed Curnow have to do that on the airwaves. And we don't want me to get tattooed with a stupid swan with a bloody cap on backwards. It's ridiculous.
So what I find really interesting as well is after the game on Saturday, we're going to be seeing Ed most likely. And here's my issue. Because you're both the worst. This wages on. I almost don't want to come. Because you and him are going to be nipping at each other. And then what a way for us to meet Charlie. You know? He'll just be like, geez, those radio guys you work with are pretty full on.
Rodeo feels more appropriate.
Yeah, that girl's a bit nuts. She got you in a headlock. So I'll pass on. Because again, I work with the Cats.
You work for the Cats.
With the Cats.
For.
But I barrack for Essendon. So there's I've got no skin in this game.
No.
Right? Can I talk to you about my honest feelings about who I think's going to win out of Geelong and the Swans?
Yeah, go on.
I'm hoping the Cats, obviously. And I always just go, the Cats get the job done. I'm nervous. I'm nervous about this game, Lauren.
You're nervous for the Cats?
I'm nervous for the Cats.
I mean, look, I have seen some comments on our Facebook, I will say. Yeah. Some people going for the Swans. A lady named Diane said, go the Swans. We love beating them at GMHBA Stadium. Sorry, yeah. The video is playing as I'm trying to read the comment. And then there was a couple of evidence pieces in there from 2023. Apparently the Cats absolutely flogged them. So, like, you know, it's...
2022 grand final in particular.
But I do think that there is a bit of a margin where the Swans have beaten the Cats a few more times than the Cats have beaten the Swans.
Full history, we don't care about. Okay. Recent history is where we are. We spoke to Lawson Humphrey from the Cats yesterday. Mm-hmm. We used insider information.
He seemed confident.
We said, hey, if you want to mess with Charlie Curnow while you're in the back line, he's having a shot at goal. Just say, oh, I heard you're really thinking about your celebrations more than actual goal that you're trying to kick. Maybe get one foot in front of the other.
Get your head in the game, as High School Musical once said.
Yep, thank you for continuously bringing that up on the show. well, you've got bet regret, but a bet's a bet. Don't get upset.
It's Tim and Davo.
I got a phone call from my Uncle Jerry last night, Uncle Jez, and he was giggling through the roof. He had had a day and a half, and he wanted to tell me all about it.
I love those calls where something fun's happened or something outrageous and a friend or a family member just calls just to tell you. And they're mm-hmm. like, yeah, hey, how you going? Yeah, good. You won't believe this.
Yeah.
Great. What's Jez up to?
Well, look, so just to give you a bit of backstory, it's Uncle Jez, Auntie Sue. They've been together since they were 16 years old.
Wow.
Real wholesome couple, white picket fence gear. They're really, really lovely, right? And Auntie Sue, she's got a bit of a girl gang, a gaggle of girls that she goes out for lunch with quite frequently.
Yeah.
Now, they've got a bit of an ongoing joke that they're the grannies gone wild.
Oh, GDW.
Yeah.
All right.
So fun, right? So it's one of the girls in my auntie's gaggle. It's one of their birthdays coming up.
Ooh.
So my Auntie Sue, she's thought, you know what? I'm going to get like a funny, like Granny's Gone Wild, either like magazine or like a funny like video or DVD or like, you know, like something that really...
Can't give it to them on their phone, so give it to them in a disc so they can watch it in their players. Yeah.
Exactly. And just be like something outrageous, Granny's Gone Wild.
Yeah.
So my Auntie Sue did a little bit of a Google as to where she could find something for to fit this particular theme that she wanted to follow.
Great.
So she's Googled it. She's found like a place, like a Sexyland sort of situation where you can get something. Now, of course, she's not going to order online because why would you do that?
Too hard. Yeah. Scary when you're above 50 years old to order things online.
Of course. So Auntie Sue said, well, I can't go into Sexyland. I'm not going in there. She said, Jez, you're going to have to go in to Sexyland and get yourself, or get present
the group, yeah.
for the gaggle.
Thank you for saying gaggle.
Granny's Gone Wild. So Uncle Jez
give
is
it
like,
a wave if you're going over the Sexyland bridge right now. Just say, hey, I see you. I hear you.
So Uncle Jez is obviously mortified by this. He's going, oh, for goodness sakes, I'm going to have to park up in front of this. I'm going to have to walk in. I'm going to have to walk
park
in
around the back.
Try and find something with Granny's Gone Wild in there. Yeah. Obviously searching through everything that you can imagine. And he's feeling really embarrassed about this.
And like for Sexyland in particular, like I know that there's different ways that you can get in there. But like the bridge bringing you up, especially if you're coming back into Geelong, it's essentially giving you a peep at like the anyone that's walking in.
Yeah.
You're just driving over and you go, oh, Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, Tim and Davo. Oh, what's going on there? So it's not subtle for a place of Sexyland's nature.
Exactly. So he's gone in there, head down, just trying to sort it out. I was going to say
bum up, but not great.
And he's looking everywhere, cannot find this thing. And he's telling me like he's getting the sweats on, like he's feeling nervous in there. He's not comfortable. Like I said, wholesome couple, really beautiful stuff. Anyway, he goes up to the desk and he's like, look, I need some help. I'm looking for something. It's a silly gift. He's trying to explain it. It's a silly gift, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's not even listening to him, right? Because he goes, Jerry.
No. You can't be recognized. No.
Jerry. Did you used to work at XYZ for all these years? And he's gone, yes, unfortunately, but I do need some Granny's Gone Wild gear.
Well, on the shelf over there, you'll see our mature catalogue.
Apparently he got home, filthy with Sue. Absolutely devastated. He got sprung in the wrong place.
Absolutely.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.